This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Russian economy under sanctions. The price of oil under sanctions. Michael Bernstam, my colleague at the Hoover Institute, who's been watching the Russian economy and sanctions since before the war started. We have headlines now suggesting the Russian economy, which has been boasting for these last years about its expansion, its success, its GDP. It's called military Keynesianism, everything for the front. However, Russian fuel crisis deepens as Kremlin warns gas station owners, or Russian economy meltdown as Putin forced into humiliating tax move, or this one, Russian meltdown as most vital exports sharply declining. That's a random sample from London. I come to what really matters for the Russian budget and the Russian people, which is the price of crude oil and the suggestion that there's going to be more oil available soon enough and what that means for the price of a barrel. Michael, a very good evening to you. The Russian economy is choking along, especially because there's not enough refined oil for the gasoline. But how's the crude oil story? It's been selling crude oil through the shadow fleet to India and China for some time. Any change in the weather? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening to you. And the bottom line is that the party is over. For 3 years, fiscal stimulus produced a lot of expansion in manufacturing for the military industry and for other spheres of the economy. And now it is exhausted. Labor force is exhausted. And now, for the first time in years, not just 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, the new budget forecast is saying that capital investment in capital equipment will decline next year, just the government is running of money. So they have to reduce all the expenditures, including military expenditure. Even the military expenditure is supposed to fall down in nominal terms, 5.8%. In real terms, because of inflation, it is even more. And the total expenditure of the budget for everything, social programs, everything, will stay flat nominally, which means it will decline in real terms. They're increasing taxes. Earlier in the year, they increased profit tax from 20 to 25%. Now they add 2 percentage points to value-added tax, which is basically sales tax. So they're scrambling at the bottom of the barrel. And oil is a key issue because oil prices are declining. 1/3 of the budget still comes, now a bit less, comes from oil and natural gas and fossil fuels in general. And this source is declining because of the decline of oil prices. So now, on Sunday, October the 5th, we will have a pivotal, very important online meeting of OPEC countries, which will decide what will happen with the oil quotas in November, because in October they already decided a month ago that they will increase oil production by 137,000 barrels per day. It's for October. For November, it is another increase at least of this amount, or maybe some forecasts are it will be larger, like triple. But again, it doesn't even matter, because if they just triple, they have a quota increase of 1.65 million barrels per day. So if they do it 400,000 a month increase, then they will do it in 4 months. If they do it 137,000 barrels per day, they will do it in 12 months. The difference is for the oil price, how fast the oil prices will go down.
To your estimation, is this a purposeful maneuver by OPEC or just coincidental that it's going to damage the Russian ability to maintain the war?
No, it has nothing to do with Russia. It has to do with Texas. It has to do with South and North Dakota. It is the shale revolution because the United States has become a major, by far the largest oil producer. Now it is producing about 14 million barrels per day. No country ever produced anything like that. 14 million barrels per day of crude oil alone, not to mention other things. And the Saudis and others were losing market share. So their previous strategy of OPEC was to reduce output so that prices will go up. But the United States is moving in, Canada is moving in, Guyana and Brazil are moving in, Argentina. And so they now switched. So now they are fighting for the market share because their production costs are much lower. In Saudi Arabia, production cost is $10 per barrel. In the United States, the problem is that if oil prices go down under $60 per barrel, the shale becomes problematic, no more new investment, anything, but still the shale production is increasing, so it is a big global competition fight. And Russia is caught in between because their production costs are very high, they are $42 to $44 per barrel, and with their discounts of $15 per barrel, they just can't compete.
A story that came up from the Financial Times in these last days that I found especially ironic. Naphtha, which I understand is an extremely processed product of oil, is necessary for the manufacturing of some of the most important machines on Earth. I mean, semiconductors, microchips, graphic processing units, GPUs, the guts of AI, along with all the other high-performance aircraft out there. Taiwan is importing naphtha from Russia. Is that necessary? Don't they have other suppliers?
Oh, Taiwan has lots of suppliers, and Russia is not the world's largest producer of naphtha. Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, even India, which doesn't refines oil, which it imports and produces naphtha, because naphtha is a highly refined product. Naphtha sells at about $70 to $80 per barrel. The price fluctuates, but it's a very expensive, highly valuable product, and it is even more expensive than crude oil. And so Taiwan was buying from the Middle East and India, Russia gives them a discount. And Taiwanese are business people, so they're buying it. And one particular company, which is a very large producer of all this fuel products in Taiwan, is buying this from Russia. And Taiwan is very, very important because Taiwan produces 60% of all chips, all semiconductors in the world. Taiwan produces 90% of the most advanced chips in the world. And so it needs all these inputs. And with Russian discount, it buys it from Russia. Under pressure, it may again move back to other suppliers.
The importing of naphtha then for Taiwan is not necessary except for Russia gives them a deal. I note that your explanation for the OPEC decisions is not about Russia, but about market share. So again, they're in competition with the U.S. Michael, I'm coming to the conclusion that what's going to defeat the Russians is capitalism, not anybody's army, but the nature of markets.
Yes, the nature of market and the technological revolution. Remember that in the last 20 years, just starting from 2004, the United States added to the world market about 8 million barrels of oil per day and about over 800 billion cubic meters of natural gas per year. So this is the technological progress. This is the machine of the United States industry, science and technology, and market forces, because other oil producers are competing for the market share. So it is technology and markets in the West.
Michael Bernstam, he is at the Hoover Institution, my guide on Russian sanctions and the price of oil and capitalism as well.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.